This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Radio.com app.
The game belonged to a youngster playing in his very first game. Clint Longley, with his incredible passing performance, had captured the fancy of a packed stadium and a national television audience, and had plunged his team right back in the thick of playoff possibilities. Certainly a long and bright future awaits the 22-year-old rookie quarterback, but no matter how long he plays the game of football and how well he plays it, it is unlikely he'll ever surpass the shining moment he knew in Dallas this Thanksgiving Day.
That is the, and consistently, is the number one Thanksgiving Day game of all time. In any poll of Thanksgiving Day games, any sort of NFL network show about Thanksgiving Day games, the number one all-time game on Thanksgiving is almost always the game dubbed the Clint Longley game. It came on November 28th, 1974. Washington and Dallas at the height of their rivalry, actually in many ways still at the in the beginning of the rivalry, but it was red hot between George Allen and Tom Landry and two of the best teams in the NFL. And Washington knocked Roger Staubach out of the game. They were up 13, and Clint Longley comes into the game and throws three touchdown passes in the game. They were down 23-3 or 16-3 at one point, including a 50-yarder to Drew Pearson. Many of you of a certain age, like me, will never forgive Ken Stone for letting Drew Pearson get behind him on that touchdown pass. Shades of Troy Apke. Maybe, or some sort of vision of what could be tomorrow. Hopefully not. But that was an all-timer and one of the worst Thanksgiving Day memories for me as a young child. I certainly remember it. Scott Van Pelt comes on with us every year, and he can't do it today. But he tells the story about how Clint Longley gave his grandfather a heart attack. It's a true story. Longley threw the bomb. They were all celebrating Thanksgiving, and his grandpa went into a cardiac arrest. He lived to tell about it, but Clint Longley nearly killed Scott Van Pelt's grandfather on Thanksgiving Day 1974. Anyway, as we go through the show, playing some of the Thanksgiving Day memories between Washington and Dallas as we rejoin. I'm going to get to Washington wins if my keys to the game coming up here in a moment. Mike Jones, USA Today, will be our guest at 7:30. And then we'll talk with Mickey Spagnola from DallasCowboys.com at 8. To me, Mickey knows this team as well as anybody, has covered it for decades. We'll get what the state of the Cowboys are from him. Nikki Jabvala from the Washington Post will join us at 8:20, and we're expecting Kendall Fuller to call in at 8:40. Let's get Cowboy Chuck has been patient, and he joins us now. Cowboy Chuck, describe how you're feeling about your team and the game tomorrow.
How you doing, Kevin?
What's up?
All right, here's the thing, man. I'm going to be honest with you, Kevin. The thing is that a lot of us Cowboy fans, even in the DMV area, we really don't get that really hyped over Washington games anymore. And the reason why is because for the past decades or whatever, Dallas has been kicking Washington's butt, sweeping them. You remember when we beat y'all 13 straight times in a row. Now, the thing is that, yes, it was a big rivalry. It was something big. But at the same time, at the end of the day, what a lot of us Cowboy fans, really, really get it hyped up to is the Philadelphia Eagles and the New York Giants. And the reason why is because their fan base, especially with the Eagles. Heck, I think that y'all should get hyped up over the Eagles, too, because every time they come up to FedEx Field, they ready to fight y'all. Y'all have to pepper spray.
I mean, here's
the
thing. Here's the thing, Chuck.
All that
stuff. And I appreciate the honesty, but the honesty right back at you, I don't think a lot of us care as much about you guys anymore. I just think
how dysfunctional the Eagles and the Giants.
Yeah, well, I mean, to be honest with you, we've both been the laughing stocks of the division for so long.
You're right.
We've got the two worst owners in the league. We're the most dysfunctional franchises. We're so tied up in just trying to become functional that all the other stuff of rivalry talk and big games among division rivals gets set aside. Before the game, it's a pandemic year. There are no fans. The whole thing's weird this year. But even the games last year, like week two, wasn't that pumped up for it?
No, we
don't feel the same about you that much either anymore. With that said, I feel as though, Kevin. Yeah.
I feel as though that you guys get more pumped up over the Giants and we get more pumped up over the Eagles.
That's just the way I look.
I look at it that way.
I don't feel that way at all. I think the four teams, Philadelphia, the Giants, Dallas, and Washington, all right, there's so much history between the four teams and the four fan bases. And you could go back over the period of time. And the one constant, really, even as we sit here and we tell each other we don't care about the game as much as we used to, which is a little bit condescending and dismissive from you to start it, but which is why I got a little defensive about it. But the truth of the matter is, over the course of 50 years, Washington-Dallas has been the most important of all of them. It has had the biggest games, the highest rated games, the most meaningful games, and obviously in the last 20 years, not that many. I'll concede that. Philadelphia and the Giants, head-to-head, have had many more big games among those two teams over the last 10, 12 years than Washington and Dallas has had. But there have been periods where it's been Dallas-Philly has been the most important one. There were years where Washington and the Giants was the biggest deal, in the division and in the sport. And in recent years, Philadelphia versus the Giants has probably had more meaningful late season games than Dallas versus Washington or Dallas versus Philly or anybody else. We suck as franchises. The other two are much more stable. And so as long as that continues, it's going to be a problem. Now, I personally, for tomorrow, it's going to be hard for me when this thing starts not to be into it. If we were playing the Giants tomorrow on Thanksgiving Day, say that it was the Thanksgiving night game, it wouldn't feel the same as it will feel playing in Dallas tomorrow at 4:30, with actually some meaningfulness to the game. I'm just being honest with you, even though I don't care and I'm not nearly as passionate about the team or the rivalry as I used to be.
One more thing, Kevin, then I'm going to let you go. The thing is that, as of right now in this generation, in today's situation, us Cowboy fans, yes, it's all in fun with the Redskins. Washington. Family, friends, they Washington fans or they Dallas fans. It's all in fun, just jokey. But in reality, we really get upset with the Eagle fans because they really haven't won nothing. And they always running their mouth.
That was the way we felt. But they did win it recently. That's what I used to always say. There was no more irritating fan base in the division than Philadelphia's fans because while you guys have, five, we've got three. The Giants have, four? The Eagles had none up until 2 years ago. And you would have thought, talking to a Philadelphia fan, that they had seven Lombardi trophies sitting in their lobby. I hear you. But look, on some level, and this is true, and it's true about sports, it's true about the companies you're in, the people you work with. These NFC East fan bases, longtime fan bases, people like you, people like me, there's always going to be a connection between all of us. There's always going to be that we were part of, and it was. The NFC East was one of the true marquee divisions in all of sports. You know, you could take ACC basketball, the SEC football, the NFC East, the American League East. Those are the divisions that over the time in conferences that actually had brands. None of the others in the NFL did. It just sucks now. But it did at one point.
Happy Thanksgiving, Kevin. I appreciate it, man.
All right, Cowboy Chuck. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Sabah, go ahead.
Thank you, Kevin. Stick my call. I am duper excited about tomorrow. Because, first of all, this weekend's going to be awesome because I got my Tar Heels playing Notre Dame. And I'm hoping that's going to be followed by the win of our Redskins against Dallas. Now, I am worried. I am very cautiously optimistic. And very worried, but I do think that Dallas has a lot more to lose than we do because I don't think anyone expects us to win. And Dallas played really well Sunday, so I do worry. And I worry about Alex Smith's health. That's my main goal out of this game, keep him healthy. Now, Kevin, I have one caveat for you. I think that win or lose, I think we're going to beat Pittsburgh. And listen to me real quick.
Okay.
Listen to me real quick.
Uh-huh.
We beat the Packers when they won the Super Bowl. We beat the Ravens when they won the Super Bowl. We beat Philly when they won the Super Bowl. We beat the Giants when they won the Super Bowl.
Right.
Okay? Those are just the four that come to my mind.
Relevance.
And I know the two Dallas years when we only had one win.
Seriously, how you're a doctor for crying out loud. How is that relevant to this year and the game next week? Any of the past?
Because I think that we're on a road to nowhere for this year. I got that.
Okay.
But just let me have my season. I'm just sad that we only have six games left.
Okay.
That's the saddest part about this.
Well, I mean,
like
enjoy them one at a time. There are no guarantees
season.
For anything else in this environment and world we're living in. Their games, and I mean, this Baltimore-Pittsburgh game tomorrow night appears to be in jeopardy. I don't know how they're going to play the game. Baltimore's missing now like 11 players. I don't know
Baltimore's
how they're
giving their people COVID because they don't want to play this game. Baltimore wants none of this. Baltimore is like Florida State against Clemson. They're going to make up a reason not to play the game. And one more thing, Kevin, and I'll let you go. I am absolutely with you. If we had the Shanahans and or McVay with Kirk Cousins, we would be talking playoffs and how far we're getting into the playoffs and how we may or may not be underachieving
in the
playoffs.
Well, the owner's too limited to have seen Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan and Matt LaFleur and all of these people right under his nose in his own building, and he's siding with a 23-year-old quarterback. None of it ever made sense to me. But it's a maturity thing. It's a self-awareness thing, and that's what's been limiting in this franchise for so long. Thanks, Sabah. Happy Thanksgiving. One thing I would say to what Sabah said early on, I don't think people aren't giving Washington a chance tomorrow. They're a 3-point underdog. I mean, they're a 3-point underdog in this game. I think a lot of people will give Washington a chance in this game. Look, 2 weeks ago before the Cowboys played Pittsburgh with Garrett Gilbert and then went to Minnesota and won, Washington would have been a sizable favorite in this game. When we come back, my keys to a win. Washington wins if I've got three or four of them, including something that better be much better than it's been. And an individual that may, this game may come down to him, and he better not do what he's done recently, because how angry would we be on Friday morning if he does the same thing again? I'll explain when we come back. Mike Jones at 7:30, Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, team980.com, and also now on the radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
The K- Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Radio.com app.
Well, there's some hitting going on down there. Now. I mean, they're laying some leather out there. The way it should be. I mean, those things all year, we talked about a good fit. Thanksgiving Day and football and division rivalry. The Redskins in first place. Game ahead of the Cowboys. Cowboys fighting for that. And then some good hitting. This is good hitting weather.
John Madden, Pat Summerall called many of the biggest Washington-Dallas games of all time and several of the Thanksgiving Day games, including that one back in 1990 when Emmitt Smith and Troy Aikman and Michael Irvin first got it going, and they beat Washington on Thanksgiving 27-17. This will be the 10th time these two teams have played on Thanksgiving. The Cowboys have won 8 of them. Washington's won once. Tomorrow, Dallas is a 3-point favorite pretty much across the board anywhere you want to play the game. The over-under in the game is 46 in the game. Of course, they played a month ago. That was the game in which John Bostic knocked out Andy Dalton and Washington rolled. They were rolling long before Dalton got knocked out. It was probably the most dominant defensive performance since the opener against Philadelphia that they've had all year. Dallas seemed totally impotent during the game. All right, let's get to Mike Jones is coming up at 7:30. Let's get to my keys. Washington beats Dallas if. All right. There are a couple of things that I think are really important. First of all, I'm very intrigued by the matchup because both of these teams are different teams than they were a month ago. Washington was just getting into a groove of being more productive offensively. You know, that game was quarterbacked by Kyle Allen. They were efficient. They were already in the midst of becoming a really good third down offense. If you recall in that game, they were 9 of 15 on third down. They kept the ball for 36 and a half minutes to the Cowboys, 23 and a half minutes. Now, when DiNucci came in, the JMU quarterback, they couldn't do anything. In similar fashion, Ryan Finley last week coming in for Joe Burrow, Cincinnati became completely inept offensively. The first key to the game for me is that Washington must protect Alex Smith in this game. If they're going to continue to be a team that moves the football, and that has been, to me, the number one reason they've won two and had a chance to win five in their last five games, is because they have become much more competent professionally, competent and professional offensively. And more than that, I mean, they are among the league leaders in first downs, in first down, in third down conversion percentage, in time of possession, in yards per drive, in the fewest number of punts. All of those things that actually should result in more points and probably more wins against bad teams, but they've had a lot of self-inflicted damage, the turnovers, the missed field goals, et cetera, et cetera. Here's the reason protecting Alex Smith is number one for me in this game. Because Dallas's team speed defensively in their front seven is underrated. And I don't want you to look at the statistics going into this game because there's too many games that Dallas played earlier in the year that skews a lot of that. They're a different team than Washington played the first time. They have talent on both sides of the ball. And their underrated speed in their front seven creates issues for teams offensively. Cousins, I watched a lot of that game, was pressured throughout. Now, he got sacked twice, but he also fumbled on one of the sacks, which set up a Dallas touchdown. It forced Minnesota to throw quickly, to rely on heavy play action off of Dalvin Cook's running the ball. So part of protecting Alex Smith in this game will be to run the football like you did in the first game. Remember, that first game was the only game plan this year. It was a unique game plan for Scott Turner because it featured a game plan that intended to run the ball down Dallas's throat. Dallas is the worst rush defense in the league. They've gotten a little bit better here in recent weeks. Again, they gave up 100-plus to Dalvin Cook, but his average yards per carry weren't really what they were giving up earlier in the year. And against Pittsburgh in particular, they held James Conner to 22 yards and the Pittsburgh rushing attack in total to 2.6 yards per carry. 46 yards in total. That was just a few weeks ago. And by the way, even though they didn't sack Ben Roethlisberger, they pressured him. They were around him. They were disrupting throws. And Pittsburgh really got bailed out by a couple of defensive illegal contact penalties, or Dallas would have been on a two-game winning streak themselves heading into this one. Don't look at what Dallas was. Look at what Dallas is right now. You've got to protect your quarterback. Washington's done a good job of getting the ball out of the hands of Alex Smith quickly. They've done a good job of running the football against the right situations. Dallas a few weeks ago was the right situation. My sense of it is that they're not going to be at 6.5 yards per carry between Gibson and McKissick like they were the first time. I think Dallas may load the box, and that is dangerous against Washington because of Terry McLaurin, because of Cam Sims, because of Sims Jr., because of McKissick. You know, they've got more weapons than we think. But they've got to protect Alex Smith in this game, and that will allow them to move the football like they have been. If they can move the football and continue to convert on third downs like they have, they're going to have a legitimate chance to win the game. Point number two, they've got to stop the run against the Cowboys. The Cowboys are back to trying to run the football. And by the way, it's not just with Zeke Elliott. You know who's really turned into a good back? Tony Pollard. has turned into a good back. By the way, Tony Pollard, a teammate of Antonio Gibson's at Memphis. Tony Pollard, in his last three games, 7 carries, 40 yards against the Eagles, 5.7 yards per carry. 9 carries, 57 yards against the Steelers, 6.3 yards per carry. 5 carries, 60 yards against Minnesota, 12 yards a carry, and he had one from 42 yards out for a touchdown to give the Cowboys the lead in the fourth quarter. Zeke just went for 100-plus against Minnesota, 21 carries, 103 yards. He had that fumbling problem there for a while, and now he has not fumbled in 4 consecutive games. Washington has to stop the run. Dallas knows what they are offensively. They've got weapons, but they're going to stay balanced and they're going to try to run the football, especially in this game when you consider the issues Washington's had in stopping the run against the Bengals at times, not as much, the Lions and Giants for sure in their two previous losses. You've got to stop the run. And it's not, again, it's not just Zeke. It's not just Zeke. It's Tony Pollard as well. Third thing, you know, this is a game that may set up for Washington. Washington got a break Sunday because in the second half when Burrow went out, they were able to coast a little bit. They took their foot off the pedal offensively. They coasted into an easy win, you know, a game that wasn't easy in the first half. You know, a lot of people have said all week long, if Burrow doesn't get injured, they wouldn't have won that game. Well, if Burrow didn't get injured on the 3rd and 2 that he threw incomplete on the play that Darby made against Green, or maybe it was Higgins, I forget, on the play that he got hurt on. Remember, Washington took the next drive, scored, so Burrow would have come back into the game down 14-9. So to say that Washington didn't have a chance if Burrow stayed in the game is ridiculous. He would have entered the game down 14-9 had he not been hurt on that 3rd and 2 incompletion. So Washington coasted. Dallas was involved in a very intense, chippy, very physical football game against the Vikings. They hit Dalvin Cook. They smothered Dalvin Cook at times. They hit him hard. They forced a key fumble on Dalvin Cook on a catch that stopped a Minnesota score. They pummeled Kirk throughout. Even when he completed passes, he completed them while getting smacked around. Dallas played a desperation game on Sunday, a game they knew they had to have, a game they felt confident about because they had played so well against Pittsburgh and they were getting their true backup quarterback back in the game. Washington coasted. I think this sets up for Washington. I think if they come out and they are physical, hard-hitting, they've got a chance to take it from the Cowboys early on. Next point, Washington beats the Cowboys if Dustin Hopkins doesn't blow it. This game should come down to the fourth quarter. The last time they had a chance on Thanksgiving Day in 2016, when the Cowboys were 9-1 and Washington was 6-3-1, Dustin Hopkins missed two field goals in that game, one from 42 yards out and one from 54 yards out. Dustin Hopkins can't miss a kick. That Thanksgiving Day game in which Washington rolled up 550 yards and 490 through the air, and they lost 31-26, you do the math. If Hopkins makes two field goals, that's six more points. That's a game they might win. Hopkins blew it against Detroit. He's blown it in the past. This is a big spot. It's an indoor stadium, for crying out loud. You can't miss a kick indoors. If he's banged up and he was held out of practice yesterday, call somebody else up. Don't allow him to miss one that hurts. I like his talent as a kicker. I do. But he's got to come up big, and I have a feeling he's going to have a kick in the fourth quarter for the lead from 49 yards out. And he's going to have to make a big kick or two in this game. Lastly, and I've said this since watching them early in the year, got to make good decisions as a coaching staff. You know, you can't take unnecessary philosophical gut feel, you know, analytics-based or non-analytics-based guesses. You got to consider the context of the game, and you got to feel the game. And Jack Del Rio and Rivera didn't do it at the 50-yard line in Detroit 2 weeks ago, and there have been other times where they've messed up some things. You got to be the sharp sideline, and you can be in this game against Mike McCarthy. Mike Jones from the USA Today next.
The Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Radio.com app.
Mike Jones is one of our favorites, writes for the USA Today, of course, covered the Washington football team for the Washington Post for many years, and he joins us right now. You know, I want to get to Washington, Dallas tomorrow, and maybe the NFC East for a little bit. And I know as a columnist for a national newspaper, the NFC East is like at the bottom of the list of potential columns. But first of all, where will you be tomorrow?
I will be watching from home tomorrow. You know, we've got hopefully three games. We'll see what happens with the Ravens with all their COVID stuff. But be taking it all in, and we'll see what happens with this NFC game, which, I mean, I know the records are awful, but there definitely is some intrigue there. So, I mean, it's such a weird year for that division.
Yeah, I think there's some intrigue, too, and we've been talking about it. You know, real quickly on Baltimore-Pittsburgh, if they move forward and play this game, this is another indication they're not losing these primetime games, you know, no matter how many people test positive. Right now, I mean, I would think that this is a game that should be, right, Mike, at the greatest risk of being postponed since one of those Tennessee games early in the year.
Yeah, I mean, look, you've already got your two starting running back. I mean, your two top running backs, so you're one of your pass rushers. You know, multiple, and we'll see what happens this morning because more tests could pop up. But they, I think by 11 o'clock, I was told by somebody last night, we should know whether they're going to proceed with the game or not. But look, you've got 10 people, coaches and players, who have COVID or are on the COVID list, and you're still going to play. I guess it would take Lamar Jackson and Jim Harbaugh being on the list for them to not play. But right now, they want to get, like you said, they don't want to give that primetime TV money back.
I mean, this is also, because it's a Thursday night, the easiest opportunity to postpone a game until Sunday night, Monday night, you know, Tuesday of next week. We've already had one Tuesday game. If it really would speak to a level of revenue right now matters, pushing forward and through all of this matters, even if we are playing a game in which a team is going to be at a significant disadvantage, which it really would appear Baltimore is with all of those players out.
Yes, you're exactly right. And I mean, and this isn't just any game, it's a divisional game.
Right.
It's huge. The stakes are huge. But, I mean, should we really be surprised? The owners are always motivated by money. That's the reason why they pushed ahead with this thing, the reason why they've been so insistent on, you know, having this season with no delay and everything like that, even though medical experts said they shouldn't. I mean, hey, give them props. They've, you know, they've made it to this point with no interruptions, no games left unplayed. But money is always the driving factor with these owners.
Talking to Mike Jones from the USA Today. You know, I'm just curious before we get to specifics with the game tomorrow and some other teams around the league. What do you you talk to people in the league? What do you think their biggest, the league's biggest concerns are right now about the rest of their season, considering just the overall increase in COVID cases? By the way, in the league as well.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest concern is just that, you know, they'll be able to keep this down to they feel like, hey, we haven't been able to avoid it. We said we wouldn't be able to avoid it, but we've been able to minimize. And they're just hoping that they'll be able to continue to do so, even though it's become more challenging. Every single week, more and more guys go on that list, more and more team staffers. And they're hoping they can get this thing in 17 weeks. And if not, you know, they'd move to the 18th week. And then if not, they'd go with that modified playoff plan, which they don't want to do. So that's the concern about just trying to get this thing all in and hoping that they can do it. They know late in the year they might have to move teams to a bubble or, you know, their own individual bubbles. But, you know, there's a lot of unknowns because they're just so, you know, we don't know how everything, how people react, how this virus is working and all of that.
You know, correct me if I'm wrong, too, and I knock on wood when I say this. We have not had one serious illness with any COVID-19 infection in the league. Am I remembering that correctly or am I off? Did I miss somebody?
No, I believe you're correct. Yeah, there hasn't been anybody that I think, was it Trent Brown with the Raiders who had, he was out for a little bit, but nothing that was like somebody.
Nobody on a ventilator.
Right. Yes, you're right.
And I always felt, Mike, you know, going back to, you know, June and July and August and all of our conversations, I always felt like the first person in any of these leagues that got seriously ill or worse, that would shut it down. Because remember, in March, it was the first, you know, it was the Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert right. tested positive and all of sports shut down. And right. no infection has stopped any sports from shutting down. We've had games postponed, we've had games canceled, but they've all, you know, moved forward. To me, it's always been, and again, God forbid, it's the first person, you know, especially a young person, a young player that is on a ventilator fighting for his life that would shut it down, or at least temporarily halt it.
No, I think you're exactly right. That's when it would be more serious. That's when it would get everybody's attention, and I think, frankly, players would be like, hey, nah, we're not doing this. But because it's you know, people are bouncing back fairly quickly. I mean, look, we saw Andy Dalton back, Cam Newton right. back, you know, and so that's why I think things have continued to proceed as they have.
All right, let's talk about the league a little bit, and then we'll get to the game tomorrow. So Baltimore, you know, lost in that game against Tennessee on Sunday in overtime, and the Ravens have lost three of their last four. And the conversation about can you or can't you win, you know, big, meaning in the postseason with Lamar Jackson, has become much more of a topic here over the last mm-hmm. couple of weeks. First of all, what do you make of the Ravens right now? And secondly, what's your answer to when someone says, can the Ravens win a Super Bowl with Lamar Jackson?
I believe that you can, but I don't believe you can do it as that roster is constructed and as your coaching staff is constructed. I pin a lot of this on offensive coordinator Greg Roman. If you look at his track record in San Francisco, and somebody told me this earlier in the year, and I was like, huh, really? But it is very true, and it's played out. His track record in San Francisco, great first year with Colin Kaepernick.
Kaepernick.
The next year, teams started to catch up with them. Buffalo, good first year as offensive coordinator. The next year, teams started to catch up to him. We've seen that here with Baltimore now. Good first year, you know, great numbers. Now this year, you definitely see the way these defenses are playing Lamar Jackson. They're hip to what he's doing. I mean, you can watch their personnel packages and know what's coming. If I can watch that stuff, and I'm not studying film every single day like these defensive coordinators are, then you know, then you're onto something. There's a problem there. And I haven't seen an evolution of their playbook. I haven't seen an evolution of Lamar Jackson's game. If you compare it to the way the Chiefs are continuing to build onto their playbook and you see that a growth. So I think that they're not going to win with this coaching staff. I mean, Jim Harbaugh, I mean, John Harbaugh is fine, but I think he's got to go out there and either get a passing game coordinator or a whole new offensive coordinator. And, you know, they need more weapons because Lamar will be scrambling and trying to buy time instead of taking off running, and his wide receivers just don't get open or they're inconsistent and they drop in passes. So I believe he can grow. He needs someone to help him more and also position players to help him more.
You know, it's funny because I don't think I've had this conversation on the air with anybody about the Ravens, but I want to talk to you about it because I think that you can look. There have been run based teams, whether it's quarterback, dual threat quarterback, run based teams, or just running teams in the past that all sort of look and feel the same, and that is, you know, you've got to be a front runner. You've got to be in a game that's no more than one possession. You've got to control the clock. You've got to be able to do. You've got to be able to run the ball. We've seen teams like that. Many of the Rams teams of the 80s with Eric Dickerson, they didn't have quarterbacks that could throw the ball down the field or convert on third down. They had to run the football. Now, they didn't win a Super Bowl, you know, those John Robinson teams. But I think this is a front running team where if they get in front, they're very difficult to beat. They've also had a bunch of injuries. I mean, losing Ronnie Stanley and losing a guy like Nick Boyle, who was a phenomenal, you know, a blocking tight end, has really hurt them. I don't think there's enough credit or enough of the, you know, discussion about why they've slowed down here given to the people that are out.
Yeah, and also losing Marshall Yanda was big.
And Yanda, too, of course, from last year.
Right. But we also have seen times when they have leads against good teams, they can't put them away. They were leading in the fourth quarter against Pittsburgh and lost. They were leading in the fourth quarter against the Titans and lost. There's something that's off there. They're not able to, like, put their foot on your necks and impose anymore like they were last year. That attitude, there's something different there, and something's got to change.
In looking at the AFC, and we'll switch it to the NFC here in a moment, you know, Pittsburgh's 10-0, Kansas City's 9-1. They're fighting for the one seed, assuming that it's going to be a 7-team and not an 8-team format this year, which I guess is still in play depending on how the rest of the season plays out. Do you see any other team other than Pittsburgh or Kansas City with a chance to advance to the Super Bowl in the AFC?
I mean, I will not discount Tennessee. I know they've had some hiccups here and there, but they've got a strong run game. They've got young, emerging, you know, wide receivers. They've got a defense that, you know, they're trying to get healthy. They haven't gotten a lot out of their pass rush, but I feel like they've got the mindset that they need, that they could make some, you know, life difficult. Again, it's going to be difficult for anybody to beat the Chiefs. I feel like everybody is trying to, you know, ready themselves to challenge them, and I don't see a real challenger outside of Pittsburgh just because of their experience and their defense. You know, I think they've got the best chance, but even so, it's going to be hard to you know, they can score so quickly whenever they need to. There's so much creativity that, you know, it's hard to bet against Mahomes and Andy Reid.
That game Sunday night was just – that was a fabulous football game between the Raiders. The Raiders really – I came away so much more impressed with them than I had had at any point, including when they won at Arrowhead, you know, a month ago.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and they executed their game plan to perfection, but it still just wasn't
– it wasn't enough. You know the team I like, Mike, a lot, and I've been talking about them for over a month now. I think they're extremely well coached, and I think they're very good defensively, and that's Indy. And they came back against Green Bay, and they've got another game with the Titans this weekend. And this is the game. If they beat the Titans, they're going to win that division because you know, they will have completed the sweep, plus they'd be up a game. I think people know Indy's good. I think they're capable of a deep run.
My only thing is this. You sometimes don't know which Philip Rivers is going to get out of bed, the vintage Philip Rivers or the grandpa Philip Rivers. And that's kind of an issue. You know, there are times where he looks really old. And then
he did last year. You're right.
And there's times where he looks like that guy. So if he's on his game, then yes, I give them a chance. But it's just the questions, the consistency from him because of age that you just don't know which one you're going to get. And that's why I'm a little skeptical of them.
All right, talking to Mike Jones, our good friend from USA Today. Before we get to Washington, Dallas, which we will, in the NFC East, who wins the NFC West?
that's a really good question. Right now I'm going to say the Rams, just because when I look at all these teams, their defenses, and, you know, and then the experience factor, they've been there before. I like Arizona, but they're still young and they're still learning. So that's why I think they lose out on experience. I really like Seattle, but their defense, you know, hasn't been able to stop people. The last game, though, we saw them start to get it together with their pass rush. If they can do that, if they can play like that, then yes, then I'll bump them up. But for right now, I'm going to say it's the Rams. Sean McVay and Les Snead did a great job of retooling on the fly, and their defense is playing lights out. Jared Goff is playing really well right now. They've overcome the injury loss to Andrew Whitworth. And so if you're checking all the boxes, they have a lot of it, and they've got less questions than anybody else. But I do think it's going to be a dogfight.
Yeah, it is. NFC South. How big of a blow was the decision to go to Taysom Hill to Jameis Winston's career?
You know, I don't know that it was a huge – I mean, it would have been great for Jameis Winston if he could have gone out there and played and pulled a Teddy Bridgewater and, you know. But at the same time, I don't think that when you look at – there was a reason why Taysom Hill, why they gave him $21 million for, you know, these 2 years. You know, Sean Payton loves him. And so that's why it wasn't that surprising. I still think that, you know, maybe it's just an extra year that Jameis has to wait. If he could have played this year, then boom, next year he is somewhere else. But I don't think that the book is closed on him because, look, he didn't play poorly in that game where he came in for Drew Brees. But again, I think it's Sean Payton, you know, wanting to show, hey, I can win with this guy, Taysom Hill, even though you guys don't think I can.
Talking to Mike Jones from the USA Today, is the NFL fan base, media base overreacting to Brady's two picks in the backbreaking pick Monday night? He has had some very good games and looked very good at times this year. Give me 20 seconds on Brady and the Bucks.
You know, I think they're still figuring things out. We thought Tom Brady's great. He'll be able to make anybody win because he did it with basically nothing on offense the last several years in New England. But this is taking time, you know, and he's, you know, he is getting older, but they've still got enough for him to be able to lead them to a Super Bowl if they can cut down on some of these mistakes.
You said at the beginning of this call that tomorrow's game between Washington and Dallas is intriguing. Why?
Well, I mean, the fact that, okay, look, you've got this young defense in Washington. They've got a lot of pass-rushing firepower, and that gives you a chance in any game. And also you've got an experienced quarterback who's starting to get his legs back underneath, no pun intended with the legs, but just he's starting to get his rhythm and its timing of this game. It's hard. I mean, you've been out for 2 years. But I still think that he gives them a chance and makes things easier for these young offensive guys. That are still very much developing. And then you look at Dallas, once they got Andy Dalton back, that kind of helped them. Look, it's not Dak Prescott good, but it is. It gives you a chance. Their defense seems like they're starting to figure things out. Look, they had no offseason to work with a new defensive coordinator. They're trying to learn the packages. He's trying to learn his personnel. So both of these teams have a chance to put some things together, you know, and I just don't know which one it is. But we're looking at the Eagles, and they're, you know, I'm starting to count them out. And, you know, the Giants, we'll see. But these two teams have a chance because of the experience at quarterback and the potent defense in Washington and because of all the talent that Dallas has.
It seems to me that you just sort of led to the winner of tomorrow's game you would pick to win the division. Yes, is that true or not?
I definitely think they have a chance, you know, because there's just so much wrong with Carson Wentz's head and his mechanics, so I don't think that he's really got a shot. But it's a huge confidence boost, I think, for whoever wins tomorrow. And then they start really getting some momentum with having won back-to-back games, a big win on, you know, national TV against a divisional opponent. That could be huge.
Who is your pick tomorrow?
I picked Dallas, although I don't feel great about it. I went back and forth and back and forth, but I just went ahead and went with them because they were favored.
Last one. Ron Rivera, and we had a conversation about this, Mike, this week, you know, taking calls on it. He is alluded to, you know, in encouraging signs with this team. You know, they haven't quit on them. They're playing well, or they're playing better. They've certainly had a chance in the three games they've lost over their last five to win all three of them. They lost those three games by a grand total of 7 points. And he essentially implied that the arrow is pointed up, that he's very encouraged about the future. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with him or not?
Well, I mean, yeah, I think, again, like we talked about this young defense here, they need to get more on the back end. That would really help them. You know, another year of these guys playing in this system will help. My questions are the offense. They've got to do a lot of work on that offensive line. They've got to do a lot of work at the wide receiver and tight end positions. Yes, you've got Terry McLaurin. You've got some young guys, you know, Sims and those guys that are showing some promise. But they really can't just think, oh, we're good. You know, we'll just keep developing. They need more pieces there. But if you've got a great defense, you always have a chance. And I think they have the ingredients for it. They just need a couple more things thrown into the pot.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. It's always good to catch up. I hope you and the family are well. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Kevin. Happy Thanksgiving to you as well.
Mike Jones, everybody, from the USA Today. Mickey Spagnola, who has covered the Cowboys forever and knows that team frontwards, backwards, and sideways, will be our guest next. He writes for the DallasCowboys.com. You're listening to the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the Team980.com, and now on the Radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.